And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Boston Celtics. The second pick will be made by the Los Angeles Lakers. One.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Legacy Podcast. This is your host, Jonathan Hernandez. I am joined today by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. Tommy, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday when nothing really exciting happened?
I'm doing all right. Just a typical Tuesday.
Yeah, typical Tuesday. What are we kidding? We're just playing. The Lakers,
what
the fuck are you doing? We're number two. More unintelligible noises. Oh my god. All right. If you didn't hear, the Lakers kept their pick, stayed at number two for the second year in a row, and it's a surreal feeling. We're happy to be here just bantering and just making more unintelligible noises for the next half hour, whatever. The Lakers 2016, number two pick. We're here. We are lit. Litmus factor way up to 100, 102, whatever. We're not even sense anymore. Before we start, welcome again to the Lakers Legacy Podcast. Thank you, everybody who's followed us this entire year. Thank you for all of our new followers and our new listeners. This is the best time to start following a podcast like this. Jump on board. Please, you can follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. And also, please rate and review us on iTunes because you are so hyped right now and so lit. And it's because of the people who have been rating and reviewing that we kept this pick. I truly believe that. So thank you for everybody who's been doing that. And now that you're so excited, just do it for fun. Tommy, with all that being said, we are here in this very fortuitous place as Lakers fans where we didn't think this would happen. And over the last 3 years, it's almost been like a Murphy's Law kind of thing where everything that could go wrong for the Lakers went wrong.
Yep.
Until the very end when it became reverse Murphy's Law, because everything that could go right has gone right. So walk me through your day. How did you prepare for this day and how did it differ from last year when we didn't even have this podcast?
Well, I'm still making unintelligible noises, but last year, I think most people out there were probably a little bit more nervous last year. And I think that's because we had something like an 85% chance to keep the pick. We just had to remain in the top five, right?
Yeah.
So when you have a 15% chance to lose the pick, if you lose that pick, it's so devastating. If you have a 50% chance, or I think it was, we had a 45% chance to lose the pick this year, it slightly takes the sting off a little bit just because it was kind of a coin flip. Like we sort of talked about, this was a two-man draft. Like 3 to 14, you're going to find some good talent like you always do, but it's not like you're missing out on superstars by losing your number five pick or whatever, you know? So it was a little bit weird. I was not as nervous in the time leading up to the lottery. And then 30 minutes before, I got really nervous. And then I was like, oh crap, as much as I like tried to reverse like psych myself out of this, I still really want that pick. It would definitely help our development. Freaking like Brett Brown comes on, like we have the chance to get multiple picks this year. And they're talking on ESPN about how important it is that the Lakers keep this pick. Blah blah blah, this and that, and it's like my anxiety is building and building. it was a miracle. It worked out. The entire 1 through 14 order stayed the same.
Oh, God.
And once it got to four, right, that's when we knew.
Yeah, that's when you're like, it better not be come up Sixers or Lakers or whatever.
Well, yeah, because once it made it to four and nobody had jumped, you figured that you're guaranteed to be.
No, it still could have happened because the number three could have jumped and then the number four could have jumped in and the Lakers could have been pushed to four. You know what I mean? So it actually, we had to see that Phoenix card. You know what I'm saying?
Is that how it works? Wait, because if...
Yeah, because the number four... Because Boston could have jumped us to number two, and then four could have jumped in, you know? So,
Oh, okay. So I was I was foolishly... I let out a sigh of relief when it got to number four.
Well, thank
four.
God. Thank God. You would have been so confused.
I would have been so confused if that happened. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't even thinking about that. But
yeah, overall, it was an insane day. And I was kind of like you. I wasn't worried about it leading up to the draft. But until the last 15 minutes before it started, I had to excuse myself to go to the restroom just to bide the time because I was like, I can't watch any of this coverage. I can't look at all this lead up. I just want to see it happen. And obviously, once what's the guy's name, Tatum, whatever, Mark Tatum started reading, yeah. Went super quick, and I was like, oh my God, it's holding to form. How is it holding to form again? I actually didn't expect it to hold to form because that's what happened last year, and that's so rare, you know.
Yeah.
Just to recap how rare this is the first time ever that the draft lottery has held to form all the way through.
That's insane.
That is insane. And if anybody listened to our last podcast, which you probably did, you know, we did the tankathon spins of the lottery three times. And our first spin, if you remember, I was like, everything held to form for some reason. I'm not sure if that's correct or if I misspun, but it held to form. And somehow, prophetically, that's what ended up happening in real life. And we're still in this state of euphoria, and it's all surreal. There's so many things to go over, but also not a lot to go over.
Right.
I don't know. I think we were talking about it earlier, but Dikembe Mutombo, I guess at like 2 o'clock, tweeted out this, inadvertent, congrats Sixers for getting the number one slot. And then like 2 minutes later, he deleted the tweet, but everybody started screenshotting it and like spreading it around and was like, does Dikembe know something we don't know? Because he just said the Sixers got the number one pick.
Yeah.
And then obviously going at the damage control, but guess what? He was right. So who knows what was really going on over there, you know? The most important thing is that the Lakers kept their pick, so it doesn't matter. You know, good for the Sixers, good for their fans. They probably deserve it. Brett Brown deserves it after what he's had to go through.
Yeah.
That's a good market. And to be honest with you, the Sixers are better off keeping our pick for next year than they were getting the number four pick this year, because next year's draft is going to be probably going to be a lot stronger and a lot stacked. So they have nothing to be sad about not getting the Lakers number four, number five pick. So, but yeah, all the focus on us today, the Lakers keeping the number two pick for the second straight year. It's amazing. We're feeling good. We're feeling happy. And now there's not really, I mean, there's still a lot of debate over, there's not a lot of debate, but we're pretty much looking at two guys, Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons. And these are pretty much the two guys that we spent the most time on this podcast throughout the year talking about. So I ask you now, what's the likelihood of us getting Simmons? What's the likelihood of us getting Ingram? We heard this past few days leading up to the draft that Ben Simmons is actually holding out on signing a contract with Nike, or actually he's holding out on signing a contract with either Adidas or Nike just to make sure he can get the most money possible if the Lakers draft him. So there's all these random storylines going on here. So in your opinion, who are the Lakers drafting here and who's going to fall to them? Because they have the easiest job now in the draft. They just pick whoever wasn't picked number one. So,
yeah. So, it's going to be whoever is not picked number one. It's a clear number one and two. This is the draft you want to have, either number one or two. If you have faith in your front office, you want number one. If you have slightly less faith, you want number two. I would have been fine with either. I'm not at all sad about number two. I don't know. If you asked me this question a month ago, 2 months ago, before Hinkie resigned, I would have bet everything that the 76ers would take Brandon Ingram. I think he has more upside as an all-around player. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's a high-character guy. And he's a scoring wing, so he fits a need. He helps them in the short term and the long term. To me, Brandon Ingram to the Sixers makes too much sense. But now that it's Colangelo is in town and they've been so bad for so long. I don't really know what's going to happen. They seem like they're, I mean, Brett Brown, I don't know if this was like his hype man job routine, like trying to hype up, like, oh, by the way, remember Joel Embiid and Dario Saric that nobody's talked about for like 3 years? Like, those guys are still somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He did mention all of those guys.
Exactly. So I don't know if that was like his hype man routine of like trying to boost these guys up because they're going to try to trade them or something, but I don't really... I honestly have no idea what they're going to do. I'm sure it's going to become much more clear as time goes on because I don't expect this new front office to be as tight-lipped as Hinkie's was. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad, not that it's not a good or a bad thing, but I just think that we're going to hear a lot more. And Simmons is really good, man. Like, they're both really good. I think they're both going to be superstars. It's just a matter of who do you think you can mold into being the better superstar. And I think Brandon Ingram, from everything we've heard so far, seems much more focused on the game. Mm-hmm. He seems much more focused on winning. And he's been, you know, he's had to prove himself his whole way up. Ben Simmons has been anointed like the second coming of LeBron since he was 13. And he is like, everything you hear about him is like, oh, he's not going to do the workouts because he thinks he's number one, which is fair. He's not going to sign a shoe deal because he wants the Lakers to pick him and make a shoe deal worth more money. Like, okay, look, he can get knocked for that. Maybe chances are that's his agent, really, who cares more about that. And his agent is advising him at this stage. So I wish I could throw percentages on it, and maybe as it gets closer to the draft, we will be able to. But at this point, for me, it's a toss-up. And that being said, I would be happy with either. And you just move forward. If you end up with Simmons and you have three power forwards, whatever, you make it work. Like, Larry Nance is versatile, Julius Randle is versatile, even Simmons is versatile. So you figure out a way to make it work, because Ben Simmons could be like better than Blake Griffin, and I think anybody would trade, like most teams would want Blake Griffin on their team.
Yeah, for sure. I think you and I are on the same page about, if we had our preference, we would pick Brandon Ingram, because one, he's like the quiet superstar. He's almost like Kevin Durant too in his demeanor about just going quietly about the game, working on his craft. And really, he just seems like a very intelligible, hard worker, who has his mind in the right place. But yeah, I think right now it's pretty much 60-40. I think we're getting Ben Simmons, just because I think Ben Simmons' agent is going to try and find a way to get him to the Lakers.
I think he's
going
to try to get him to the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he might try and kind of just, whether it's the right thing to do or not, just kind of go into the Sixers workouts and kind of not half-ass it, but like not show them everything and kind of just give him rote answers. And then for the Lakers, he'll probably pull out all the stops and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, I'm very, very happy with Ben Simmons, because obviously the untold stuff here is Ben Simmons is going to be reunited with D'Angelo Russell. Ben Simmons has always wanted to be a Laker since he was pretty much a kid. He looked up to Kobe Bryant a lot, you know.
He made some comment about how he's going to play for the Lakers next year.
Right. Yeah. So it's all coming true. The Oracle's coming true. But, you know, for Ben Simmons, the good thing, I mean, it's good and bad that he's been raised in this kind of like LeBron James kind of thing growing up. The bad thing is obviously that may have gone to his head. He may be feeling entitled. We saw some of that in college, him skipping classes, all this stuff. But the good thing too is that because he's had all that pressure, he's going to really have to live up to it now that he's in Los Angeles. You're like, you're literally the number one pick, number two for us, but pretty much essentially the number one pick for LA.
Yeah.
And he can't suck, man.
LA
is unforgiving. You can't suck. So he's really going to have to step up his game, learn how to shoot, learn how to hone the rest of his game under Luke. And, you know, either way, we're in a very, very good position. But as it stands, I'm still leaning that the Ben Simmons will probably stay with the Lakers. But, you know, I'm actually seeing more and more, like you said, with Colangelo and with the Sixers, because the Sixers don't really have anything right now, and all of their pieces are either overseas or guys are injured and all this stuff, they don't have a point guard. We've talked about this before. Ben Simmons is the type of guy that you draft when you don't have anything going on in your team.
Right.
And you need someone to hone the offense in on one guy. And Ben Simmons is that guy because he likes to have the ball like, you know, 80, 90% of the time, and almost like a Blake Griffin, LeBron James hybrid where he uses all the usage up and he play makes for his team. He's the focal point. And a team like the Sixers, because they haven't had any sort of core outside of maybe Nerlens Noel, they could use a guy like Brandon Ingram to really build around, you know? So that's
or
why
Ben
I
Simmons,
think
you mean.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. Yeah, so that's why I think Simmons is still a very legit possibility outside of the Colangelo's kind of dumb factor.
Yeah, and if you just listen to this podcast, which nobody does because there's so much, there's a lot of good stuff to listen to out there. I'm sorry if this is all you're listening to, but if you had only heard what we were talking about, right, you would think that like for sure Ingram is like the consensus number one across the board. But no, I mean, the sense I'm getting from everything I read from ESPN and like all these scout, like, you know, scout rumors or whatever, is that Simmons is still pretty firmly planted as number one on most NBA GMs boards. I think those guys are like, you know, there's this theory that you can teach a guy to shoot, but you can't teach a lot of the natural athleticism and instincts that Ben Simmons has. And I think that's fair. You know, Ben Simmons will maybe never be like a lights out shooter, but you can make him an effective shooter. So, I mean, he does so many other things so well that it's not like for sure, oh, it's so obvious the Sixers should take Ingram. I guess I made it seem like too much. So in that sense, it's they need everything. For all we know, they're going to trade Okafor, they're going to trade Noel, or they're going to trade Embiid, or they're going to trade Saric, or, you know, God knows what they're going to do. You know, maybe they got word that Embiid is really done for like his career, you know, like, who knows? So they don't necessarily have a glut of big men. And if you put Ben Simmons at the power forward, how many is that a glut? You just have him and Saric. You know, it's really, they have a glut at center and they can just trade one of those centers. So, you know, you don't have to play Okafor at the center. So, at the power forward. So it's definitely not 100% that they're going to take Ingram. They very well could take Simmons. And again, I'm trying to like not be too, like, it's hard to not be too optimistic in this position, but really whichever one comes to us is going to be so good for our team. They're going to help us so much. Yeah. And it's really going to push our franchise forward several years. I personally prefer Ingram because I think he's a better fit. I think he's a good character guy and he's 18, for God's sake. So this is going to be like our, you know, next superstar for the next 15 years or something if we can develop them right, which I think we will in Luke's system.
Yeah, we cannot emphasize that enough. When we draft him, he will be 18. When he plays summer league, he will be 18.
He's like gonna turn 19 when like
the season starts,
basically, like when training camp starts is
right
gonna be his 19th birthday. So he's extremely young and he's so talented. Crazy wingspan, man. Like, this guy can be molded into like an elite wing defender potentially.
And he's still so raw, and somehow he ended his NCAA career after three games averaging like 24 points and 7 rebounds again under Mike Krzyzewski. So I mean, that's the kind of pedigree you want to have as an 18-year-old coming into like a team like the Lakers. So either way, very excited. Obviously, with the way things have been going, I would not be surprised if things just fall easily into the Lakers' lap and we just get Brandon Ingram and we don't have to think about trading Julius Randle or anybody else, because he just perfectly fits into that small forward slot, and then we off to the races we go, you know.
And that would be crazy if the Lakers ended like three tanking seasons and came out of those three seasons with like pretty much legitimate NBA starters at four positions. That would be pretty insane. So props to the Lakers for putting themselves in this position by drafting so well the last few years. But yeah,
props to the Lakers for trusting the process unintentionally
trusting the props to Byron Scott for leading us to this number two pick.
I know,
the silent hero of all of this. So
seriously,
it's a good time to be to be a Laker fan. Things are getting lit.
It's a good time to be lit for sure. You know, just to go back to the start of the day, I don't know how it was for you, but I think for me, it was like such a blur that I went about my day in a very unceremonious manner. I just did my work. I honestly didn't even think about the draft, whereas last year it was on my mind from the moment I woke up. I was like, it was almost like we got to prepare for this and get our minds mentally prepared. I didn't even barely watched any of the pregame stuff. It all kind of just blurred in my head and I was like, get to Mark Tatum and let's go, you know? This year was so weird because we weren't expecting to keep it. Last year, we had done so much research on all of the guys, on that entire draft class that, like you said, if we had lost the pick last year, it would have been devastating to have done all that work for literally nothing. This year, we put our focus from the very start because we knew we would only have either one, two, or three. We put our focus squarely on Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons, and a little bit of Dragon Bender. And so I think for both of us, we probably went into this, you know, with the mindset that, look, we're probably going to lose this pick, but we want to be pleasantly surprised. And somehow we were very, very pleasantly surprised. You know, we tried to rationalize ourselves in terms of, you know, if the Lakers lose their pick this year, this is the year to lose their pick, which I still think holds true. But to go through the season that we did with all the turmoil, all the Byron Scott crap, all the D'Angelo Russell throwing under the bus, all the drama, like, this makes it all worth it in the end. And I'm glad to say that we can look back on this year and not say that it was worthless. Like, it wasn't worthless either way, but now we actually have, like, a crown jewel to look at and be like, this is what we worked, this is what we went through, and this is like a product of that. So yeah, this day, I still can't describe it because, yeah, it's such a weird thing to feel numb for most of the day, and then all of a sudden it's super lit and the Lakers stay at number two, everybody's super happy. I guess what I want to ask you now that we're in this stage, and has your mindset changed at all? Because I'll give you guys a little, you know, peek into my mindset, because obviously leading up to this, we've had a lot of scenarios where we were like, look, if the Lakers keep their top three pick, they could trade it for like a superstar and all that stuff. And there was a time and point where I was like, yeah, if someone offers us like freaking Jimmy Butler, or Paul George, or DeMarcus Cousins straight up for the number two or number three pick, we'd do it, you know, because that means we're probably going to get Durant too, because he'll see that we're actually building a team. But I also anticipated this in my heart. I knew that if we somehow kept the pick and you all of a sudden attach a face to that pick, like, because, all of a sudden it's so hard to,
yeah,
like, let
go. And I get where you're coming from. But I think that, I mean, if you need help rationalizing that feeling, it's really, look, we didn't think we were going to keep the pick. Now it seems like we're going to keep the pick, but it also, one huge circumstance that has changed in the last month or so is that it really seems likely that Kevin Durant is not going to leave Oklahoma City, yeah, right? Like, they just beat the freaking 67 win Spurs in six games. And they beat him badly in a few games. And I mean, like, not like by score, but like they beat him like in fourth quarter comebacks and stuff like that. They beat the Warriors in a big comeback last night. That team is looking solid, and there's not, like, I would be floored at this point if Kevin Durant left. They've built something good there, and clearly Billy Donovan's doing something right, and they'll only continue to add more depth. So there's no reason for him to leave. And then if you think about it, it's like, look, there's two ways you can go about it. You can either spend all your every cent you have this summer and then, you know, try to trade the pick and then try to go from like a 17 win team to a 47 win team in one off season. Is that possible? Sure, that's possible. But on the other hand, you're thinking, okay, is a 47 win team going to win the NBA finals? No. Is a 47 win team even going to make it to the second round of the playoffs? Probably not. I mean, you're talking about like a Western Conference that has Golden State. They're not going anywhere. The Spurs are not going anywhere. And you know, they're going to look to add depth with Duncan, and with Ginobili is most likely going to retire, and Duncan might retire, at least take like a 13th man role, you know? So
yeah,
you still have Oklahoma City, who's still there. You know, the Clippers are going to be hungry next year after everything that happened this year. A 47 win team is probably not going to go to the NBA second round, you know, let alone the NBA finals. So on that note, you're thinking, okay, well, if you end up with a Brandon Ingram or a Ben Simmons, a guy who you think is going to be like a perennial all-star and like potential superstar player in the NBA, why not just sit back? If you're going to not win a championship next year anyway, sit back, develop your guys, develop, you know, Ingram or Simmons, and not to borrow Sam Hinkie's phrase, but trust the process a little bit. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. And we've done that pretty well. We've done it better than the Sixers, and we can legitimately say if we trust the process, you can expect good things to happen. And if there was ever a time to, like you said, bide your time, it would be now. And maybe we come up when the Warriors are finally coming down.
Yeah, so, because it's like, look, you could trade Simmons now, fine. Ben Simmons, if he falls to number two, is going to be like the most hyped number two pick, and like since Kevin Durant, I feel like, you know, like, yeah. This is Simmons has been hyped for a long time, and this is a very, very close 1-2 battle. Probably the closest I think that we've both seen in a while. Like maybe people said Wiggins Jabari was close, but I don't know that Wiggins separated himself with his athleticism and stuff. And I think this is about as close as we've seen. A lot of guys around the NBA are going to want Simmons. That being said, if you end up with Ben Simmons, why trade him now when this is about as low as his value is ever going to be, right? Because if he comes into the NBA and shows that he's like a living, breathing prospect who can actually play and he doesn't get hurt, his value is only going to go up as he develops. So if you're not going to win the championship next year, why not just keep your guys, continue to develop them, see if Simmons can play some small ball center, or see if he can develop some semblance of a jumper and play some small forward, or see if Larry Nance can play some small forward, or, you know, whatever, and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you worry about trading guys later when their value has increased a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, not to mention the fact that we might be in a lockout scenario in 2017. And right now with the league having so much cap space, and literally every team is going to have to overpay for like these mid-tier guys as early as this summer, to have a cost-controlled 2016 pick for the next 4-7 years is invaluable.
It is.
In a league that's where the cap is rising yearly, and by 2017 it'll be 108 or something ridiculous like that, to know that you have like a potential all-star on a $5 million contract without that, that allows you to, one, not speed up the process and make stupid signings because you can just bide your time, because you know that you have this core on a cost controlled basis. That'll just keep you from like, oh, I have to spend right now because, you know, our team needs to improve. We can look up, we can look to the left and say, hey, we got our young core right here, and we can do this the OKC Thunder way and continue to use our money wisely and maintain that flexibility for when these guys are really ready. So I'm totally with you. I'm totally in on the farm system, OKC Thunder, trust the process aspect. I want to see these young guys grow together. At the very least, you want to see how it all works, even if it's just for half a season. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If it's apparent that Randall doesn't work, or someone doesn't work, then you can ship these guys off whenever you need to, but at least see how it works.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we're talking about Ben Simmons, a guy who we've seen photos of this guy standing next to Tristan Thompson. And he's
legit 6'10".
He's legit 6'10". Like, he's, it's not like, oh, this guy, you know. No, he's legit 6'10 with a 7'1 wingspan and like a, what, 36 to 40 inch vertical. Like, he's extremely big and strong, long and athletic. And who knows what this guy is going to become. He might end up becoming the next, you know, superstar power forward. He might end up becoming a small ball center in some lineups. It's not completely out of the question, although it seems like this, things are sort of pushing in the direction that, you know, Randall or Simmons, one of them is going to have to go. It's not, you know, completely out of the question that they can coexist. So, and at the very least, again, same thing with Randall. Randall's value right now is slightly higher than it was a year ago at this time. But after 1 year of playing in Luke's system, it's going to be quite a bit higher than it is, you know, 1 year from now than it is today. So why not just keep him, to continue to develop him, put him in situations where, you know, he doesn't have to play 40 minutes a game. He doesn't have to do things he's not comfortable doing. Defer those things to Simmons and put Randall in a position to succeed. And God knows what we can get for him in a year from now, assuming we try to trade him.
Seriously. And I just am seeing flashes of either Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram in Luke's system. And it's, they're both kind, they're different, but it's glorious.
Yeah.
They're both glorious in the way that I'm just viewing things. We saw that video of Brandon Ingram shooting threes where he's not only shooting threes, but he's like running from the top of the key to the baseline and all the way to the other corner and hitting all these NBA 3-point shots. And I just imagine that motion movement in Luke's system, and my mind is like going bonkers right now thinking of the possibility. And then Ben Simmons, on the other hand, you see him get the rebound and you see them all running and Ben Simmons throwing like an alley-oop to freaking Larry Nance. Who knows? It's gonna be really, really fun, and it's gonna start as early as summer league this July. Are you planning on going out at all to Vegas? Because I am.
I mean, if we end up getting, I mean, either of these guys will be really exciting, but as much as I want Ingram, I would actually be a little bit more excited to watch Simmons in the summer league, because this guy is like a physical freak of nature, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do things that somebody his size should be able to do. Like, the way he dribbles the ball and moves around the court, it's, like, scary. He's like a 2 inches taller version of Blake Griffin, basically. With longer arms and, like, more athleticism somehow. So, I don't know. It's going to be really alarming to watch this guy play. I think scouts are sometimes wrong. It happens every year, but typically nobody is so wrong. It's rarely the case that everybody misses on someone, right? Especially everybody misses on someone who is supposed to be like a number one pick quality type of player. And I think if that rule wasn't in place where college players or players have to go to college for a year, if he came straight out of high school, he would have for sure been the number one pick. Even in last year's draft. And not to say that he's going to be better than Towns or anything, but just to say that, like, there's something there. I think he went to LSU for reasons I'll never understand. They probably paid him under the table or something.
I think his, like, godfather or his uncle was part of the staff. Okay. So that's kind of
be it, because he went to a coach who had no background. LSU is not, like, a big recruiting school. Their coach was terrible. His teammates were terrible. Like, he's literally not going to have one NBA teammate that comes from that team.
Yeah.
So
he also probably just liked the purple and gold colors.
Just liked the purple and gold colors. He, like, was totally not engaged, especially at the end of the season when it became pretty apparent that they weren't going to make it to the tournament.
Isn't that remarkable, though? The fact that he flamed out and he's still considered number one by a fair amount
of people. Well, that's
what
I'm saying. There's things that you know and things that we all know and things that we can see and things that, you know, you can read into the measurements and you can read into a guy like how he does in his interviews and stuff. But at the end of the day, sometimes it just comes down to what you see on the court. And I am assuming that the scouts are seeing something behind the scenes with Simmons that nobody else is. I mean, it's sort of like when Wiggins went to his 1 year at Kansas, right? Everybody was talking about Wiggins, like, this guy is the second coming of LeBron, blah, 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 this and that. And nobody saw that the entire season. Wiggins was a ghost half that season, you know? Yeah. And despite that, and despite Kansas losing, like, I think they were like a 1 or 2 seed and they lost in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Despite all of that, Wiggins was still, like, number one conversation for the number one pick. And at worst, people were saying, oh, maybe number two because Jabari's pretty good. But, like, he was pretty firmly set at number one, like, in the months leading into the draft. And it's sometimes scouts are like, look, you know, a guy might be, like, smooth, like, Jabari Parker type scorer. Jabari's got good measurables. He seems like he's a hard worker. He seems like he's a winner. He seems like he's a high character guy. But you can't teach 6'10", 7'1 wingspan, 38-inch vertical, you know, NBA-ready strength, court vision, you know, all these things. Sometimes it's hard to teach that. So then, you know, as I'm saying all these things out loud, it's like, okay, well, wow, I can see why the 76ers might take this guy number one, despite the fact that they have all these big men. So, again, I think it'll work out no matter what. I personally think whichever one ends up on the Lakers is at least at the beginning of their career going to have a better career, just because if Simmons or Ingram go to the Sixers, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to score, right? And a lot of pressure on them to just take over that team. And if they are true, like, Kevin Durant, LeBron James types players, that's not going to hurt their development. But if they're not, then... and it could, right? So I think that in terms of year one impact, whoever ends up on the Lakers, assuming it doesn't create like a glut at one position, is probably going to end up having a better year, I would think. Not to say they're going to have a better career or a better player, but I just statistically, and it's probably going to work out that way.
For sure. And then obviously there's the Luke factor as well, being able to understand young players. And I'm now wondering whether or not, you know, because Luke hasn't filled out his assistant coach staff or the Lakers haven't done anything about that, I'm wondering if now they have a better idea of who they're going to draft and they know for sure they're going to be keeping a young guy if they so choose to, whether that changes in terms of who they're going to go after with their assistant coaches and bring in a lot more player developmental guys and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with that. So, it's exciting time to be a Laker fan, exciting time to be part of the Lakers organization. I guess before we leave, Let's just play like hypothetical, because this is what we love to do on right. this podcast. Let's say we detach ourselves from all this attachment to, you know, Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons and all that. And the Lakers end up inexplicably finding a trade where they can just trade number two straight up for Paul George. Let's say they trade up for Paul George. What would you think in that respect?
I would absolutely do it.
I would absolutely do it too, but it'll just take like a small second where I was like, oh, I know, right. But after that, it won't matter because yeah. Paul George is who you want.
Exactly. Him to become Paul George is, what is he, 25 or something? He's young. He's a 25, 26 year old, two way NBA superstar. And he almost single handedly led his 7-seed ranked team to a first round upset. So, yeah, no, you absolutely do that. There are a few guys I would like actually pause, but that's more of a contextual thing based on where we are. Like the DeMarcus Cousins, you brought up that name. Okay, DeMarcus, you trade him for the...
I would pause.
You trade him for the number two, like just on paper, right? Like DeMarcus is like a huge impact guy. That being said, for where we are in our franchise history, and like we have so many young players and we have Luke Walton as our coach, I would definitely hesitate to bring in that type of personality into the fray, right?
Sure. I mean, the advantage of having the number two pick now, though, is that, you know, we don't have to trade it before anything, you know, like we've been talking about. If Kevin Durant wants to sign and he's like, oh, you have the number two pick, well, if the Kings give you DeMarcus Cousins for that pick, I want him. And we could just simply do that. So it's like a very advantageous situation.
And actually, we can't trade the pick until draft night. So,
we have to. Yeah, we have to make the pick regardless, and we have to see that guy hold up a Lakers jersey for however long. We're hoping it's going to be for a long time, but you never know. So, which is why we're getting into these hypotheticals. So I agree with you, a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, even though before we put a face to the pick, I was like, yeah, I would absolutely do it straight up because it brings in free agents. I would do it. Now I'm like, I don't know. And even a guy like Jimmy Butler, now I'm like, I don't know, even though he would be really like a really, really good guy to have. Now I would pause on Jimmy Butler too.
Jimmy Butler, I think I'd still do it. Just because it's like similar to Paul George, right? He's a 27-year-old two-way superstar. But it's close. I mean, that one's closer than Paul George. Part of that is because Paul George can also just play the small forward, which is like a position of need. True. Whereas Butler, I think, is better as a two guard. But so I don't know if I would do that. I probably would, but I would definitely pause. I don't think any of these are going to become realistic. I mean, the only one that's going to become semi-realistic option is potentially Jimmy Butler. Like, let's say we end up with Ingram and the Bulls lose everyone this summer. Like, everyone who's a free agent just walks. I think there's a chance that they just try to blow it up and rebuild with Hoiberg as their new coach and let him implement a system and bring in 18-year-old Ingram to, you know, learn under the system. I think that's a plausible scenario. So,
which would be hilarious because Jimmy Butler was a representative today at the draft.
it would definitely be interesting, but I mean, most likely none of that's going to happen. So,
yeah, because I don't think any of these teams will just straight up trade their star for just the number two. We'd likely have to even throw in a guy like Nance. And at that point, I'd be like, it's okay. We'll just keep all the young guys.
Yeah, because it's like, you think about it, Jimmy Butler is very good. He's like an all-star and one of the best shooting guards in the NBA. But if you're not going to win, like, how many more wins is Jimmy Butler by himself on a team with no one going to get you? You know, so there's always like this underlying, oh, well, if you get Jimmy Butler, another star will come. Okay, well, another star will come in what, 1-2 years? Then by the time you can make that trade, by the time, you know, you have your two or three superstars or whatever, you know, all your young guys that you drafted are going to be super developed. So why not just wait for that same time period? And instead of overpaying for Jimmy Butler, you find yourself in a situation where in 3 years, you now have 21-year-old Ingram, who's like clearly on pace to become one of the best players in the NBA. And maybe you can get yourself Jimmy Butler and something else, or, you know, you can get yourself another better young player. So I just see like little reason to completely mortgage the future unless you're going to compete right away, which, I mean, since it seems like none of the free agents are leaving, that's probably not going to happen, right?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, you know, like, let's say the Lakers end up doing that and we trade for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, then I'm just going to assume that Mitch is planning to form Voltron here this summer. And regardless of whether or not Kevin Durant comes with a guy like Jimmy Butler or Paul George in play, then maybe Al Horford's more likely to come over or something right. like that, you know? So I will just trust the front office because Mitch has been super clutch. I don't know if you saw that picture of someone photoshopped Mitch Kupchak's face on D'Angelo's ice yeah, in my veins that. Picture. I thought that was the funniest thing ever, dude. I was like, Mitch is so clutch, dude. And I think the best part about the draft today was how, you know, when they interviewed Mitch, he was like smiling and he was a little cheeky and saying all this smart aleck stuff.
Well, they put this fool in the worst position. You know, they were like, nobody talks to Willie Cauley-Stein. And they're like, oh, Willie Cauley-Stein, you're here, but your team has a 0% chance of winning the number one.
Willie Cauley-Stein, why is your middle name Trill?
You know, but it comes to Mitch, and like out of 14 people, they only pause on like three people to chat with, and one of them is Mitch. And they're like, hey, Mitch, guess what? You could lose your pick here tonight. Like, what kind of dick comment was that? So,
yeah. But you handled that question very well. I was even more assured after his, you know, smiley, cheeky interview because he was like, hey, man, I came into this thinking that I'm not going to get the pick. If we come out of this with a pick, yeah. Amazing, you know? And that's the kind of reassurance you want to hear as a Lakers fan. And it all ended up being coming up golden yeah. roses, you know? So amazing, amazing night. And obviously we'll get more into it as the summer progresses. You know, the only downside to this getting the number two pick is there's really not a lot of speculation to right. talk about. Like, we're going to be like, Ingram or Simmons? Simmons right. or Ingram? Ingram, Simmons. We could have entire podcasts on that. But, you know, it's going to be fun because we'll get more. We'll actually proceed with the workouts now, right? I'm guessing that's what happens shortly after this. They'll bring in the actual
players. Yeah, so all the top guys are going to. And, you know, even though it seems like it's Simmons and Ingram, right? Like, as we saw last year, the Lakers are going to do their diligence. They'll work out Bender for sure. They'll work out probably all the guys ranked in, like, the 3 through 8 range or so. Apparently they're super high on Chris Dunn. They might work him out because yeah. it's like we've talked about before, right? There's no reason to not do your diligence because guess what? You end up number two, draft night rolls around, you end up drafting Ben Simmons, and then you find yourself in a situation where someone's calling you, you know, number 8 or whatever, like the Toronto Raptors, wherever they ended up, number 9. And they're calling yeah. you and they say, hey, we were really interested in Randall and we have no need for this pick. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, good thing we worked out this guy who we're super hyped on.
Right.
And now he's fallen to number 9 and now we don't really need Randall. So let's trade Randall for that guy.
Yeah, at a position of redundancy. And so you're like, you trade Randall for a guy that you could fill in at the center spot or the wing spot
Absolutely.
With Ben Simmons. And because we don't have a ready-made team, because Luke Walton's coming in fresh too, you can just start afresh again because the team is still very much malleable, you know, so
yeah,
anything can happen.
Other scenarios, you know, like the Phoenix Suns have the number 4 and the number 14. Like the Phoenix Suns are right. a team that really needs a guy like Ben Simmons, right? Like let's say Ben Simmons mm-hmm. drops to number two, you end up being in a situation where you can trade down. Maybe you trade down for, you know, number 4 plus one of their guards that they have because now they have yeah. like too many guards with the emergence of Booker. Maybe you trade down for number 4 and number 14 and you get yourself like, I don't know, a Buddy Hield, or you get yourself Bender who you think can play center, and you get yourself like another guard or a small forward or something with the number 14. Like that's why it's important right. to like go through and work out all these guys who have potential to be in that lottery range, because you never know what's going to happen on draft night. And in the event yeah. you end up with Simmons and there's another, let's say you were in love with Chris Dunn, right? Chris Dunn is now fallen to number 6, let's say, or 7. And that team wants mm-hmm. to trade their pick because they're like, well, we're Denver. We have a million young guys. We don't need any more picks, but we love Randall. So you end right. up in a situation where you can get, you know, a guy like Chris Dunn and you still have your number 2, Ben Simmons, and then you traded Randall and got help, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Or here's like another scenario, you know, the Boston Celtics have number 3 and number 16. I'm sure they wouldn't hesitate to package both of them. What are they going to use with number 16? They have like another number 20 pick
and
in the
yeah,
wings
that's,
anyway.
That's
so
another really good example. Boston is a team that has a ton of mediocre to good players, right? They don't have anyone who's amazing. Like their best player is Isaiah Thomas, who they didn't even draft. So through all yeah. these draft picks, they have a lot of very solid players, but they don't have like that elite alpha level guy. And if it's a very good point you're making, like to move up one spot, it's definitely worth it to trade those two picks. And if the Lakers are like, you know, we like Simmons, but we don't love him. And if you're going to take Simmons at two, then we know our guy's going to be there at three anyway. So why not trade down one spot and then add an extra mid-level, you know, mid-tier guy.
Exactly. And they might even honestly think that sneakily that Bender's probably fits their system better and fits Luke's system better. And then you walk away with the draft with like Bender and Scalabissier
like that,
or Thon Maker.
Oh, God.
You know, the Lakers interviewed Thon, not saying that we're getting Thon Maker, but they interviewed him and apparently he was impressive. Yada, yada.
So funny.
We're not going to go there, but something like that, you know, the Lakers could come up like even more winners than they were before. But either way, we kept the pick. Lakers number two. We're very lit, and this is the start of a very, very promising summer. And it all started with Kobe's 60-point game, and then we follow with firing Byron, getting Luke, keep our pick, Kevin Durant, blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be awesome, man. So, yeah, we're just going to ride into the sunset here. We'll keep you guys updated on anything new that happens. But overall, we're just very excited. And, you know, follow us on Twitter. Keep up some discussions with us. We'll ask some questions. Maybe we'll bring up some of your Q&As on the podcast eventually at Lakers Legacy Pod. You know, iTunes, rate and review us just because you're feeling it for the hell of it. Just rate and review us. And Tommy, there's only one way to go out here, and it's with unintelligible noises.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.